And I would like to introduce to you one of the men whom God has used to bring this about. Please welcome with me Dima Raziev, senior researcher for the Center for Apologetics Research in St. Petersburg.
Dear friend, thank you. It is good to be here. It's good to see all of you. I want to thank you for your prayers and support that you've given to our center over the last 15 years. And I want to tell you that God has used our ministry in a lot of ways to defend the truth of the Christian gospel and to bring this gospel to the lost. Our partnership has brought a lot of fruit. And today, God has brought us to a moment of historic opportunity. Over the last 20 years, we have come a long ways in our country. Since the persecutions and state-sponsored atheism of the Soviet times, now we have gospel openly preached. We have Bibles freely distributed. We have hundreds of Christian churches and indigenous organizations that are serving God in this country. We have Christian schools and seminaries that are training believers for the work of ministry. We have Christian newspapers, magazines, Christian radio and TV station, and we have a lot to be grateful to God for. Unfortunately, the picture is not as bright as we'd like it to be after 20 years of preaching the gospel. And our religious freedoms are being continuously compromised in several ways. First, our laws on religion are so ambiguous that sometimes they do not protect our freedoms as well as they should. On the other hand, our government is so obsessed with fighting religious extremism that it leads to harsh and oftentimes arbitrary treatment of certain religious groups. At various times, different religious groups, such as Salvation Army or Campus Crusade for Christ, or in the most recent times, Jehovah's Witnesses and Scientology, have been singled out for legal harassment. And third, the Russian Orthodox Church is being increasingly accepted as the official state religion. There is this ideal in the Russian Orthodox Church of symphony between the church and the state, which in practice means that civil government is under spiritual guidance of the Russian Orthodox Church leaders. According to civil polls, 70% of Russian population claimed to be Russian Orthodox in 2009. In 2010, the same poll showed that 75% of Russian population claim to be Russian Orthodox. Unfortunately, the Russian Orthodox Church itself tells that only 10% of these people are Christian by conviction. One of my friends who is teaching Old Testament in a small Russian Orthodox seminary in the city of Kursk confided to me that his students, fourth-year students, who are to become priests soon, they don't read their Bibles. And in many cases, they do not know how to look up verses in the Bible. And when we look at the Russian Orthodox Church, we see that it's far from being unified. It has a lot of political factions and a lot of cult-like movements inside it. For example, there is a group that venerates a deceased schoolboy named Vyacheslav. There are people who promote the sainthood of Grigory Rasputin. There are people who are inspired by the secret police, by Ivan the Terrible. There was even a group that believed that the last Russian Tsar, Nicholas II, died to atone for the sin of revolution. One of the modern church historians, a Russian Orthodox priest himself, in an interview said this. He said, "If we enter an ordinary church or monastery, we'll see that it's extremely hard to find a book about Christ there, but there are plenty of books about the Antichrist." One of the famous Russian novelists of the 19th century, his name is Nikolai Leskov. He was a Russian Orthodox himself, but he was very critical of the state of the church and the country of his day. One of his novels, he said, "Christianity has not been preached in Russia yet." And in another of his novels, he coined a phrase that has been ever since used to describe the spiritual situation in Russia. And this phrase goes like this. "We have been baptized in Christ, but we have not yet put on Christ." And this still rings true today. When it comes to evangelical community, it is still a minority. We have only 1 or 2% of evangelicals in our country. which numerically is 1.5 million people. A lot of these people, a majority of these people, are charismatic and Pentecostal. Unfortunately, they are being increasingly influenced by the heretical televangelists from the United States and their imitators. The evangelical community is very divided organizationally. We have all sorts of denominations, churches, associations and groups, and believers are freely migrating from one group into another. A lot of these groups are very vague doctrinally, and they're being easily carried about by every wind of doctrine. And since these people do not really understand what they believe in, they easily take to be really Christian some aberrant movements and beliefs that are around, like the local Church of Witness Lee, or the Seventh-day Adventists, or such practices as G12 or Christian meditation. Several years ago, I had a privilege of teaching a course on apologetics to a large group of pastors in the city of Kirov, and I was really sad to find out that the local Baptist bishop was actually reading the writings of the Russian Word of Faith preachers, and his brother, who was also a local minister, did not see any problems with reading Witness Lee materials. At the same time, cults in Russia are very active. They are very active. Jehovah's Witnesses who have been legally harassed for the last several years, they are still very active. In fact, there is twice as many Jehovah's Witnesses in Russia as there are Baptists. Just imagine how would it look here in the United States. When it comes to the Mormons, they are too very active. They have recently, just this August, consecrated a new temple building, the first one in the former Soviet Union just across the border from my country, in the capital city of Ukraine, Kiev. They have 8 missions in Russia alone, with more than 1,000 of full-time missionaries. Apart from these well-known cults of Western origin, we also have cults that are indigenous. You probably have never heard about their names, but we have the so-called the Church of the Last Testament, established by the self-proclaimed Messiah from Siberia, who calls himself Vissarion. We have a group that follows and venerates a fictitious New Age forest goddess, Anastasia. We have a group called Radostea that promises healing and harmony through recital of cosmic rhythms provided by the cult founder. And there are many, many more examples, but I'm sure you already got the idea. If you want to see the general spirituality that governs the minds of Russian people, you just follow me to a local bookstore, and you'll see there row upon row of bookshelves filled with books by gurus and seers and psychics. You'll see books about the ancient pre-Christian paganism. You'll see books on the occult written by Carlos Castaneda and other New Age authors. You'll see books on positive confessions, like The Secret by Rhonda Byrne and her associates. You'll see books on Kabbalah, astrology, dream interpretation, angels, past lives, and almost any other heresy and unchristian teaching that you can ever imagine. At the same time, in the same bookstores, we have only a few books about true Christianity that conveys the message of the Bible. Among the most disturbing trends are the growth of the neo-paganism, which comes out as really xenophobic and anti-Christian. There is also a tide of neo-atheism. These are usually people, young people in their 20s, who react in this way to the cultural dominance of the Russian Orthodox Church. And unfortunately, I have to admit that Russian Christian community, and especially Russian evangelical community, still does little to oppose this tidal wave of cults. We still have no church-sponsored counter-cult programs. No evangelical college or seminary offers a degree program in apologetics, and only a few people have courage to stand up against the cults. I am telling you this with one thought in mind. I want to tell you that Russia is still in the need of the gospel. I'm telling you this not to convey a sense of fear or frustration or depression. Actually, I believe that Russia has hope, and I believe that God has prepared a great future for it, and I believe that CFR Russia has a great role to play in this future. I believe that it's part of our ministry to actually preach this gospel to the lost, to the people who have never heard the gospel or heard the perverted gospel of the cults. On numerous occasions, I've heard from my students, those people who studied our course on apologetics, that our course not only helps them to refute the false doctrines of the cults, but actually helps them to firmly grasp and truly own their own Christian beliefs. And I believe that today our first task, before all other tasks, is not just to expose false doctrines, but to help Christians to recognize, to appreciate and defend the truth of historic Christianity. And thus today, I want to tell you that this moment in Russia's history demands that you and I do something that is far more greater and wider than everything we have done before. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you, Dima.